to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
How does that impact your ability to hit and hit for power there?
I mean, let...
What? What was that about?
That was yesterday. That happened yesterday, too. Danny loves that stuff. Sorry.
Poor Taylor McGregor. That did not sound like the water was warm when she got that the Gatorade spray. We are broadcasting live from the Score Sunday Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. And she joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. She is the reporter for the Marquee Broadcast. You can also find her on ESPN's college football coverage. And she does a Roku broadcast or two. Taylor McGregor, thanks for joining us here on Rahimi and Harris on the Score.
Well, guys, it's so good to join you. That moment in Milwaukee was hilarious because, like, you just don't expect Gatorade bags on the road. It wasn't a walk-off situation. I was so confused. It was totally caught me off guard. But it was a lot of fun, and I think it's been sort of encapsulating of what we've seen so far to come. It's been a really fun season so far.
By the way, while we're doing hilarious moments, and we'll get to all the serious stuff, Taylor, I got to tell you, you on Friday night won the broadcast. Do you know what I'm talking about right now? How you won the broadcast on Friday?
Oh, gosh. What did I do? I don't even remember.
Oh, no. It was so good because Boog Shambi, who is from New York, told everybody that it's not, you don't say Manhattan. It's Manhattan. Like, that's the pronunciation. And maybe the Chicagoized version of it is Manhattan. And I feel like most people say that. But then Boog was actually saying Manhattan, and you called him out during the broadcast, saying you're saying it. He was stunned, and it was all in good fun, but he was stunned silence from that. That was a win, Taylor McGregor.
I'm glad you appreciated that. Yeah, that's what's so much fun about our crew. We can kind of poke fun at each other because there are very few moments where I've locked Boog up, but I locked him up in that moment. So I forgot about that. I'm glad you enjoyed it because I was quite pleased with myself.
We are definitely fans of chop busting is the
yes.
proper way to
yes.
call it, right?
Chop busting.
Yeah,
because
yes. I would say busting other things, right. But hey, keep this FCC regulated around here. But no, Taylor, it has been a fun season. I know a tough last couple of series with the Cubs dropping them to the Giants and then obviously going to Queens. Am I saying that right? Queens? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's it.
That's actually Manhattan is what it is.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pronounce things correct. I don't want to be on the end of her, coming after her. Don't come for me, Taylor. I don't want the smoke.
She'll stop you in your tracks.
I would never.
But overall, just how do you get a sense of relief from whether that's yourself having to watch this high-level baseball that you've watched so far this season at kind of the quarter pole mark, or just from the players and or coaching staff with getting to this stretch now where you see the Marlins for six games and the White Sox with three in between?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that is so funny about the game of baseball is it really depends on how your team is playing. And it's the major leagues. And you know, maybe the White Sox, especially last year, they maybe weren't up to that same standard, and you could make the argument the Rockies aren't this year. But, like, for the most part, these are major league teams, and if your team isn't playing well in that moment, I don't really care if you're playing a sub-500 team. The results just might not be there, and vice versa. Like, the Cubs had a really good April. They were playing really well. They had a lot of their bats that were really hot, and they were able to beat a lot of really good teams. So I think there certainly is a little bit of relief that maybe an easier schedule is coming up, but at the same time, like, they're more focused inward and how do they get their key pieces healthy and how do they get their main bats going? You know, there's been a little bit of regression when it comes to the offense. And so I think the bigger concern, the bigger worry is like, all right, let's get back on track to where we know we can be.
I mean, that's how we feel on Mondays. Unfortunately, Taylor, I feel like The issue is on Mondays we come in and we're talking about a Cubs team that looks very different from, say, the Friday in that respective series. This time, not the case. They lost on Friday. But either way, the offense has sputtered on those days. It's enough to talk about it where I think you're right. There has been a little bit of regression. What is your opinion on not only them struggling on Sunday specifically, but also just having some issues come up that I think they had moved past when they built this roster?
Yeah, that's the nature of baseball. Like, Craig Counsell says it all the time. It's very rarely, actually, it really never happens that you have a guy just hit, like, 280 throughout the whole season. Like, there are going to be highs and there are going to be lows, and that's how you put together season numbers. And that's the way the sport has always been and will continue to be. So there were a lot of things that clicked in April, and we expected regression. We did not expect this team to hit over 6 runs a game for the rest of the season. That just would have set an insane record. So that was never the expectation. So the fact that we're seeing regression is not surprising. I think it's just managing it and you hope that maybe the rotation can step up. There's obviously significant injuries there, but could you get maybe some better starts from your rotation when the offense can't carry the load like they did at points in April? So I think it's just kind of managing the bumps of a season, because the bumps are going to come, and that's part of what makes our game so beautiful.
Well, and I think when you're talking about that regression, it's also basically timing. How long is Kyle Tucker's, quote, slump, end quote, and I say that loosely, knowing that for him, his bat is still pretty good. You know, how long does that last? Like, do you see him hit for more power even this week, given the opponents? What's been your impression of his mentality, or just when you talk to him, the discussions that you've had when he talks about his performance on this team?
Yeah, he's very a simple guy is probably the best way I'd describe it. And I was funny, over the weekend, I talked to Pete Alonso, and Pete grew up with Kyle, so he's known him since high school. And he was like, Taylor, his swing has been the exact same his entire life. Like, he's always just been this naturally good baseball player. And I think that's why over the course of his career, you've seen the consistency. Is he just knows who he is. He's confident in who he is. And sure, there are going to be some ups and downs, but I think he, more than anyone else, is confident that at the end of the season, you're going to look at the back of the baseball card and it's going to speak to the numbers that we're accustomed to seeing. So there's no panic with him. He knows what he brings, and I'm sure he'll get back to being the Kyle Tucker that we've seen.
Yeah, and his numbers, I think it was you guys on Marquee Sports Network, put up a graphic with stunningly similar career numbers to Juan Soto. A little 2-year age difference, I believe, between the two, but it is something. Taylor, what did you think of Kate Horton's first start?
You know, I thought it was impressive. There was some things that were really, really great. I thought, you know, he said to us post-game, you might have heard it, the final at-bat to Soto. Soto had fouled off some pitches, which is part of what makes the jump to the major league so challenging for these young pitchers, is that some of the put-away pitches that they got away with in the minor leagues, you can't in the majors. Those guys can foul them off, and so all of a sudden you're deep into counts, and how do you win the at-bat? And the final AB against Soto, he'd thrown some fastballs, couldn't get him to chase on any sliders. And then he wanted to throw a changeup. He had not thrown a changeup the entire game. And I guess Miguel Amaya called for a fastball. He shook him off, threw a changeup, and got him. So, like, even a little moment like that against Juan Soto, you haven't thrown a changeup all day, and you're confident enough to shake off your catcher, throw that pitch, and then get the result you want. Wow. Like, I think that says a lot about the young pitcher. And then, look, he's super athletic. That's part of why he's here. He's an incredible athlete. He was recruited to play baseball and football at the University of Oklahoma, which that in and of itself is, like, impressive. And now here he is in the major league. So super athletic. I think he's smart. And I'm excited to see what he could bring in the absence of Imanaga.
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big cue. Taco to go. Taco to go.
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco, 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 taco to go. Taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go. $2.99.
Taco to go.
Taylor McGregor, reporter for Marquee Sports Networker, joining us here on Raheemy and Harris, along with Mark Grody. And Taylor, we saw Horton come in after the opener was used in Brad Keller. What's your understanding on that approach and whether or not they'll utilize it again? Because I think all of us looking at how the back end of the bullpen has looked shaky throughout and a lack of consistency, we're hoping Cade Horton can get to the point where he can throw five or six innings and the back end of the bullpen can be helped by a guy like Brad Keller.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was a unique situation just because of the Mets lineup. Like, if he made his first start against the White Sox, you probably don't see that because you're facing Lindor, Pete Alonso, and Juan Soto, three of the best hitters in our game. So I think it was really just to try to give him a place to have success and a softer landing, if you will. So I think that was sort of unique to that Mets series, and I do not believe that will be the case moving forward. Maybe if you're facing another team that's just stacked at the top, like the Dodgers, luckily the Cubs don't have to face the Dodgers again, you could see a similar situation. But for now, I think you'll probably see him get the traditional start, if you will.
What's your understanding of how Ryan Pressly is going to be utilized in the immediate future?
Lower leverage situations. I think they still want him to pitch. They need him to figure this out. And so they want to put him in situations and they want him to get appearances. It will just be not in the high leverage situations like we have seen in the early parts of this season.
Wow, I understand based on what we saw last week, especially, that makes it all make sense, Taylor. But I also think when we've talked to him, and I know it's probably the same for you, he's a guy who will tell you about how in the playoffs he hates to lose. The ERA shows it. You know, he's a competitor. So I'm curious as to his attitude with all of this. And I don't say attitude like giving it, but just the mentality he's got right now.
I think he's frustrated. Listen, any guy who's used to having success at this level, when they don't, it's frustrating. And even at the beginning of the year, like, he couldn't figure out why he couldn't throw pitches in the zone. Like, all of his secondary stuff was in the dirt, and that was frustrating. And then he bounced back, and he had a good little two-week stretch. And so I think there's some streakiness to his game, and I think there's frustration on his end, which understandably so. But I think we have to remember, like, nobody wants to figure it out more than him. So he's going to work and grind, and that's why I think it's important for him to still get appearances, because you can't grow and get better and try to figure it out if you're just going to, you know, not sit on the bench, essentially. Like, he's going to get appearances, and he's going to be given a chance to figure it out.
Well, I'll tell you one guy who's figured it out, man. I mean, like, just since the second, basically, Dansby Swanson was put down in the lineup, the dude's been hitting just about everything. Just keep him there, or does he make his way back up the lineup, Taylor?
I think there's probably some other things that may or may not happen that would indicate that, but he's comfortable there right now. And look, Dansby's a streaky hitter. We've seen that during his time in Chicago, and when he gets hot, he can carry a team, as Craig Counsell told me yesterday on the broadcast. And I think when he's going well, he's on time for the fastball, and he's crushing the fastball. And so I know he met with one of his hitting coaches in Pittsburgh. They sort of got back to some Kim Good and, you know, just helped reestablish his routine and what he wants to do so that he's not showing up to the ballpark every day sort of chasing a feeling like, nope, this is what you're good at. Let's stick with this and just stay consistent in this. And look, it's only been a couple weeks, but it's worked so far. And it's just a matter of, like, how long can you extend this streak for?
I also want to ask you about Ian Happ. I think there was a brief discussion about whether or not PCA would continue to hit leadoff when Happ comes back from the oblique issue. But Craig Counsell snuffed that out pretty quickly yesterday. What's your takeaway from what will happen and if there is a possible timeline to Ian returning?
I would assume it's in the next coming days. Craig had told me yesterday that, you know, the hope was that he would be back in the lineup today. They were going to see how he felt after swinging a bat yesterday. But even the fact that he was swinging a bat, I think, is an indication, like, this truly is day-to-day, and there's no expectation that it'll be an IL stint or anything like that. But it's so funny. Like, everybody wants PCA at the top of the order, and I understand it because of the speed and the tools. But, like, we also have to remember Pete's a very aggressive hitter, and some of that, especially right now, like, doesn't always lend itself to being great for getting on base. And ultimately what you want at the top of the lineup is somebody who can get on base. And Ian gets on base. So Ian is a better leadoff hitter right now. And so, like, I get the other things, but you want your best hitters getting the most at-bats. And right now, like, Ian has earned that spot, and he deserves it. And he's proven over the course of his career that, you know, the numbers sort of are there for him. So I hope one day, and I believe one day, we will see Pete at the top of the lineup. But for now, that's Ian's spot. And I've said this, too, like, when Pete is hitting at the top of the lineup, it will be a good thing for the Chicago Cubs because it will mean that he has become one of their consistently best hitters. And everybody wants that for Pete, but he's just not there quite yet.
Well, I appreciated the note you had last week, too, talking about how Pete appreciates what Ian has done at the top of the lineup. Can you expand on that for people who may have not heard it?
Yeah, I think Ian really just sets the tone. And as I mentioned, getting on base is the most important part of that job, and Ian has gotten on base better than anybody, or as good, if not better than most people in the league. And so I think there's an element of getting that extra at bat every single day, being consistent in your approach, that Pete really respects, and that's what Ian has brought. You know, we don't want to lose sight of how good of a baseball player Ian Happ is as well, and how good he's been at just getting on base and allowing the guys behind him to hit him in, because part of the reason that we've had that the Cubs have had so much success scoring runs is because they've had a lot of guys on base, and that begins with Ian Happ at the top of the order.
I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. Ian Happ with a .364 on base percentage. Kyle Tucker right behind him with a .379 on base percentage. Meanwhile, Pete Crow Armstrong, .304. That kind of tells that part of the story. But the story I'm so interested in is PCA already matching last year's home run total with 10. He actually leads the team in slugging outside of Carson Kelly, who's been otherworldly. Do you feel like where he is in the order when he drops back down is going to be all the way back down to 7, or will he be a little bit higher up to take advantage of some of the slug that he's been displaying?
Well, I think Craig actually likes the way or where he was in the lineup because it splits up the lefties. So it had worked. You know, it's kind of one of those things, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And it had worked. I guess we'll kind of be some matchup space, and just also depend where I'm gifted, because right.
Oh, did we lose Taylor? There she is. Go ahead, Taylor.
Taylor, your signal's breaking up a bit on us. You might have to go back a little bit to repeat yourself.
Sorry. I was saying that Carson Kelly right now is hitting fourth because of the monster season that he's had so far, but let's say there's a little bit of regression there, you know, maybe you move him around. So I don't think that Craig is married to, oh, one spot in the order. I think we'll just kind of have to wait and see.
Taylor, you covered Bud Black in Colorado. Am I right about that?
You are.
Yeah. So
good job.
I do my research. What did you think about his firing, and how quickly will somebody like Bud Black find a job as a manager again?
Well, that's a really hard situation because the manager, I don't care who's managing that team, it's not going to help. I think that organization has some serious changes they need to make. And hopefully this wakes some people up and it makes everybody realize, like, okay, changes need to come not just with the manager, but every other place in our organization. There's just a lot of things that need to be done there. And unfortunately, somebody had to take the hit, and that was Buddy. But nothing but respect for what Bud did in Colorado. I love that he wanted to be in Colorado, especially through all of the lean years. And, you know, we'll see. I don't even know if he wants to manage again. You know, he's got some grandchildren now. He's sort of on the back end of his career. So I think if he wants a job, he could probably find one. But I don't know if he even wants one. Now, I have not asked him that directly, but I would just have to believe that he's sort of on the back end of his career, and maybe he wants to spend more time with his family.
Taylor McGregor, thank you so much for your insight on not only the Cubs, but your former organization in the Rockies. We appreciate it.
Great to chat with you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big Q. Taco to go. Taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose. Taco, taco, taco to go. Taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go. Taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go. $2.99. Taco to go.